And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TVs, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Hi there.
Hello. And Anna.
Hi, everyone.
And Mike.
Howdy.
Jordan.
Holographic Jordan.
Ooh.
Ah, it's an article. I know. I read an article in, I can't remember what the magazine was, but there is a current speculation based on string theory that we could be a holograph in the universe. And, yeah, apparently if you delete one of the dimensions in string theory, you can remove gravity from the equation. And gravity is one of the four forces, known forces in the universe that you can actually see operate, but it's the weakest force and it's the least understood force.
You can take gravity out of the equation now. The equation will be wrong, but you can still take it out.
No. As far as the function of the universe, like, I didn't mean equation as literal equation, like as in the physics of the universe.
Yeah, I know. I know what you meant, but
so you're presenting a different reality.
My guy's crapping on gravity.
I'm just saying that. You can say that gravity doesn't exist all you want, or you could like remove it from a theoretical equation and like show that it would still work, but
no, in this reality that you can delete gravity from this reality, take it out of consideration, and it can be correct.
Guys, you're putting way too much stake into a Sandra Bullock movie.
That's right. And that's exactly what they were talking about. They're like,
you can remove that movie from the equation and the rest of the world would be just fine. Yeah, I agree with that.
Although that
would be so much farther along if we just never made the movie Gravity.
Yeah. No, it's a recent thing. Like, it's of course not taken as sacrosanct or anything like that. It's just a speculation, a possible interesting offshoot of string theory, and so that's what my introduction was referring to. So yeah, it was protracted, it was convoluted, it took up like 10 minutes,
and it's now the title of the show.
Okay,
Deleting Gravity 101.
Can we delete Jordan?
He said he's a hologram.
Yeah, I am a hologram. It's possible.
Yeah, but that still means he exists somewhere.
Unless that's a euphemism for murder.
I guess you don't have to.
I would find objectionable.
It could be like a digital rendering. Technically, he'd still be a hologram.
Hey, don't you know about philosophy? I can prove I exist, but you can't prove you exist to me.
Well, except
and you can prove you exist to yourself, but you can't prove I can't prove I exist to you.
Don't go back to
actually, philosophy says you can't even prove that you exist to you.
Oh, drat.
Well, people always go back to the Cartesian philosophy of, here, I'm going to bust out my Latin. Cognito ergo sum. You guys impressed?
I am, therefore I am.
Very much so.
I am, therefore I am. That's coined by Prince. That is one of his most famous songs. Cognito ergo sum. I am, therefore I am. But, yeah, no, the I think, therefore I am, and the prevalent idea of parting the mind from the physiology of the body and everything, that is all Descartes really loved that stuff, and it's a pernicious force.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the article that I read. They're arguing about that. It is because people are trying to divest the workings of their mind and say that it's the supernatural. Is generated by something outside the physiology of their mind.
Like, I think you're getting way too philosophical for this podcast.
Welcome to Geeks Are Wired. We talk about philosophy.
That's right.
Do you exist?
We also have Bill, the podcast guy, here.
Yeah. There is me.
Yeah. Sorry for that compound digression.
That's normal.
Bill's always the last one. It's always like 10 minutes into the podcast that he gets introduced.
I think there was one that was like 45 minutes in.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Is that there?
It's his podcast, and he's like the least important person in it, I guess.
You said
it.
What's that?
You said it, Mike. You said it. You said it, Bill.
I just said what we were all thinking, Alex.
Yeah, but he's ubiquitous.
And also, in latest breaking news, Mike won't be here next week.
Oh, God. Well, it's been fun, guys. I guess I'm going to get cut off, like, now.
Mike, pack up your mic and... Mike, wait. I don't know.
Pack up your knives and go. You fired.
Microwave your mic.
There we go. All right. So we will step into the first fun game stuff. That's philosophical, but there might be a philosophical game in here somewhere.
There are, actually.
Ooh, look at that. See, back to philosophy already. Humble Bundle, or Humble Freedom Bundle. And if you're, as of Friday night, this bundle has 2 days and 17 hours and 57 minutes left.
So download everything.
Well, no, all you have to do is just pay for it, and it stays there. It'll be there as soon as you buy it.
Oh.
Indeed. Okay. So, to expand on Bill's introduction to the Humble Bundle model for selling games, basically the way it works is there's a limited time for a bundle of games that you can purchase. You purchase them, and they'll be tied to your account, and you can download them whenever you want. They're almost always DRM-free, and you can actually download them from the Humble Store, or you can actually enter in a Steam code and download them and play them in your Steam library.
Okay, and I have a stupid question real quick.
Uh-huh.
What's DRM?
Digital Rights Management.
Okay.
It's basically crappy software that makes it so you can't loan your game to Jordan. A good example is like the Xbox 360, like just preventing you from copying games, and like some of the weird stuff Bethesda did to BioShock that tended to cause troubles for people that I don't even remember anymore because they stopped doing it. As Bill's saying, this bundle is going to be unavailable for purchase after February 19th. So if you listen to this podcast and it's before then, you should hop on Humble Bundle and check out the Humble Freedom Bundle. The reason this one's special is for $30 or more, you get basically all of the best stuff that the Humble Bundle has ever had, including stuff like The Witness, Jonathan Blow of Braid Fame's latest game. You get Stardew Valley, the better than Harvest Moon clone of Harvest Moon. You can get Day of the Tentacle. You can get Nuclear Throne. Yeah, I just heard Jordan. He's excited. You can get Octodad, Dadliest Catch. You can get World of Goo. They have the Stanley Parable, Guacamelee, Human Resource Machine.
Did you say Dadliest Catch?
Dadliest Catch.
Like, another euphemism for father?
Yes. Octodad is a game where you're an octopus pretending to be a dad for a family. And the goal of the game
doesn't
is not be found out that you're an octopus.
Multiplayer where everyone controls a tentacle too.
I wouldn't be surprised. You could definitely play
that's
it that
the
way.
Worst idea ever.
It's so terribly awesome.
You can just share your keyboard with somebody.
Yeah. The trick of that game is you can't let your family catch on that you're actually an octopus.
Or your neighbors too.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? It's basically Hitman except you're a closeted octopus.
Yeah. No, I think it was. There was like a good team player idea behind it where you all had to work together.
Yeah, you're just
But then you always have that one person like Bill who just wants to ruin it for everybody.
He's the one that's just waving at the neighbor and like writing on a chalkboard, "I am an octopus."
Yep. Yeah, that would be Bill. That would be the one leg that's like smacking people in the face and stuff, like,
"Oh no, I would be writing perfectly on a piece of paper, I am an octopus." And that would be the one thing that would make people not think we're octopus because it's such perfect handwriting.
Is that like the Don't Wake Daddy game? Like, where you just have to creep around and not wake up your dad?
You have to just be... Everyone's controlling a tentacle, and you're supposed to, like, try to walk around and do things like cook or walk.
Like, I could just picture you, Bill, like planting your tentacle wherever. Like, you can't go anywhere now because I'm stuck here.
Yeah, well, it stretches, so you end up getting out a little bit further. You might, you know, slingshot back, but
outside the implication that Don't Wake Daddy may also be a game about an abusive father, there's actually, I guess that means there's two entries into the stealth dad genre. There's Octodad and Don't Wake Daddy. So I guess there's a history of that.
Self dad, like that could turn really dark too.
Yeah, that game could get serious.
You gotta be on the lookout for stealthy dads.
So the other ending to Don't Wake Dad, like you wake up dad and he just starts beating you or something. That'd be pretty.
Milton
dark.
Bradley that never said that dark. Didn't happen.
And you know, this Humble Bundle also Humble Bumble. Humble Bundle also has the wonderful The Witness, which is, as I mentioned, wonderful.
This game also has wonderful. This bundle also has some other like weirdo games that you wouldn't find other places. They have the Retro Game Crunch by Sean Inman. They have Potato Man Seeks the Truth. It also just kind of somewhat randomly has books like Neil Gaiman's A Little Gold Book of Ghastly Stuff.
Okay, really quick, because you mentioned the Potato Man one, if you're not from Idaho, that is not what we act or sound like.
It's exactly what we look and sound like. You have to watch the trailer for it.
I'm sure it exists somewhere here in Idaho, but I have yet to find that person.
It's the truth.
It is.
And also it's a System Shock 1 and 2. It's like they just took like every great PC game ever and just said, here they go. It's in a big box. If you give us $30, we'll donate it to the ACLU, Doctors Without Borders, and the International Rescue Committee. And you get like, I don't know how many games this is. It's like a buck a game pretty much. And all these are just like phenomenally great games.
Yeah.
So if you haven't gotten it on yet, absolutely jump in there and grab it.
See, even told me they were going to donate it. I'd probably go buy it just for the donation.
I really want to play Human Resource Machine. That sounds wonderful.
Oh God, it's all the games from the World of Goo Guy. Like this is his latest one, and that one looks so good. Like it looks even better than his last one. Is the one where he set things on fire.
Really?
Yeah, there's a game that was completely about just putting setting stuff on fire. Like the whole game was had fire
Human Resource Machine, right?
What's
it's
the one at the very top looks like plankton? The purple guy.
Yeah, that looks like a SpongeBob game.
Little Inferno is the name of the fire game.
The one in the center.
Oh.
Looks like plankton from SpongeBob.
Day of the Tentacle remastered.
Oh.
So yeah, check it out if you can. Like there's just phenomenally great stuff. I can't overstate like how weirdly awesome this bundle is. It's got the best stuff they've ever had and like more of it than they've ever had.
Does it have Braid?
It looks like Plankton, but it's a LucasArts games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is early 90s LucasArts games.
Star Wars.
Oh.
Star Wars creator. He has a game line. Had. Till he sold it to Disney. Now Disney has said game line.
Wait, you're talking about Lucas sold it to?
Lucas sold it to Disney.
Yeah. Oh. LucasArts was one of the greatest adventure game
companies. I don't know why LucasArts did. Like, I know Lucas Studios. I know Lucas Media. It didn't click when you said LucasArts.
Oh. Yeah, they did, like, Full Throttle. They did Grim Fandango. I think they did Grim Fandango. Maybe. That may be someone else. Did they?
Octodad. Yeah, sure.
I'll check really quick.
Yeah, so he has to hold on to his groceries and walk around.
Yeah, see, Bill, you'd be, like, hitting people with the grocery bags. Or you'd pick up, like, you would have two arms that have grocery bags, and then two of the legs are walking, and you would be the fifth one grabbing stuff off the shelf and throwing it at people.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm so...
Because
so
you
vicious.
Do!
Only when my ADD kicks in. Otherwise, I will be totally part of the game. But if we're playing for, like, you know, after around the 5 to 35-hour mark, the 5-minute mark to 35-hour mark.
No, what's the game with the bell? I forgot what it's called.
Pit?
The stock market one.
Pit?
Pit, sorry. Yeah.
There's
Bill,
a game?
Bill is the only one that will hold one of each card so nobody can win until he decides.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you end up, like, having to trade, so you're trying to collect everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're trying to collect all of one card, and Bill will hold one of each card because he's going to lose. He doesn't care. He just wants to cause chaos.
Well, it's not all the time I do that.
Every time I've played with you after, like, the second or third round of trading, you're like, I'm going to screw with everybody now.
And that's not always second or third. Sometimes you have to wait till, like, the seventh or eighth to get that perfect combination. Yeah, there's all sorts of fun books in here. Like, if you like R, there's R in a nutshell. If you like statistics and want to learn how to use that, then there's Information Doesn't Want to Be Free. It's an audiobook. There's audiobooks in here. There's comic books.
What is the Human Resource Machine?
Yeah, see, I mentioned that. It looks like you're the HR guy.
Oh, yeah. I think, I thought
is
it was.
Is that a game or a book?
It is.
A game.
A game.
Oh. Sounds like the worst game ever.
How's that a bad game? You get a I don't know if you're an actual machine, but you deal in HR.
Program little office workers to solve puzzles. Be a good employee. The machines are coming for your job.
Oh, so it's prophetic.
But have you ever done HR?
The Taro Corporation always tends to make games that are really kind of a bummer like that. Like the game I was just looking up, Little Inferno, by same dude. It's a game about consumerism where you've got a fireplace and the society is in such a place that the only entertainment comes from just setting stuff on fire in your fireplace. So you open up a mail order catalog to send off for stuff that gets delivered and you set it on fire as soon as it shows up. And that's the entire point of the game. You just burn stuff you buy. No, no, like stuff, like the stuff that shows up from the catalog. Like you might get like a stuffed monkey and you set it on fire, or you might get like a bomb and you set that on fire. Or you might get like some like wind up toy and you set that on fire. Like the whole point of the game is you set stuff on fire. And the game's like super sad. It's really good. So I'm looking forward to play the human resource machine.
I think it'd be fun with one of those like 6 foot stuffed teddy bears that they have. Just like set it in front of the fireplace. So the bat catches on fire and then it like just sits there and burns.
All right,
hey, you do well in that system.
So the human resource game, you're not HR. You are building robots to do your job, to then your management will go, hey, you've done a good job. We are going to give you a raise. Hey, therefore, you get to keep your job for one more year.
Hey, you've done your job too well. We're firing you.
Oh, you get a job. You get to hover over those minions you have made, and you get to make new minions so your bosses think you're still great.
What kind of business is it?
It doesn't say. It's just one you have to make robots that do puzzles and things.
It's gonna probably be tongue in cheek and really silly. All the games by those guys are really silly. They also got World of Goo, which is another game by Tomorrow Corporation. Mm-hmm. It's super great.
You know what would make that game awesome and horrible all at the same time? Is if you actually had to write the code for the robots to make them do whatever you want them to do.
I'm sure there's a game out there.
I'm sure. I hope there
what
is.
What if this game awesome. Is like Ender's Game, but for just automating like office jobs? Away? Like they release a game that is literally just the plot of Ender's Game, where you're just automating your own job away. Like you have no idea, but you're actually in reality just getting people laid off left and right.
Oh, spoiler alert!
Actually, I'm liking this one. A virus named Tom. You literally like a virus running through. Yeah, hack your way through. Brain scrambling puzzles while maneuvering through a thumb cramming maze of enemies.
Thumb cramming, that's not a common description for anything.
Yeah, I know. I was like, no,
well,
that's
not in conventional maze.
The picture kind of reminds me of Invader Zim. Mm-hmm.
A little bit, yeah.
It's got that cool, like, green and dark background robot.
I wonder if any of the artwork was actually copied, or not really copied, but like inspired by. Because the other one looks a lot like Plankton. That one looks a lot like Invader Zim. I don't know.
Nickelodeon ripped off a lot of people. Let's go with that.
You think it's the other way that Nickelodeon stole from them?
I think these games are stupid old.
Okay.
But of course there were those cartoons.
What is that mini Metro? It looks like there's some interesting...
set up train station or subway stations.
Yeah, you design the subway system.
I recognize the subway map. Sorry about that.
If you want to see a weird game in there, check out Dangerous High School Girls in Trouble. It's like I actually read a description this one time before, and I decided to pass on it after thinking about it for a while, but it's kind of like Island of Dr. Brain meets a dating simulator, but it's set in a Victorian romance theme.
That sounds like I would have to play that.
Yeah, it sounds really good. It's just like when I looked at the stills from it, I'm like, I don't know.
I think I would play that.
Yeah.
I bought the bundle, so I got it now. I just need to play it.
You should play it while we do this. Live stream of conscience experience.
Like an LP.
That would be the worst podcast ever.
It's an LP.
So I'm turning left here, and I'm going down this hallway. And
maybe we'll go on video finally.
Yeah.
What if we did an LP of Serious Sam? So it's just me screaming, get some, and like lots of gunshots.
Wait, I'd be confused whether it's Serious Sam or Duke Nukem.
Yeah. Wow, that's a game I haven't heard of in a while.
What? It's like their anniversary just came up too, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is this still the old, like, what is it? Not 8-bit, but...
Side-scroller?
16-bit or whatever? No.
But what game?
The original.
The side-scroller.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that was a, it's where you scroll sideways.
Okay, Mario. Super yeah. Mario Brothers.
It, okay.
Not the map, but when you run across, that's a side-scroller. You, the map follows you at a side camera view.
Yeah, Contra. Wow. You're scrolling sideways.
I thought you could do a first-person view on there.
On Mario?
No, on Duke Nukem.
No, that's, no,
that's later.
The original was not the first-person shooter.
I'm thinking of Doom.
Oh. Yes, I'll go with that.
Yeah, that's why I was like 16-bit, you know, whatever.
You're thinking about the old.
Yeah. Okay.
Duke Nukem was came out during those times. They went first person.
Yeah, I played Duke Nukem. I vaguely remember that. It was many, many years ago.
I remember playing Duke Nukem. I was way too young to play Duke Nukem.
Yeah, I was too, probably.
I think
is that
it's like
possible.
Probably...
I think it's made for people who are way too young. It's a pretty juvenile game. I like it, but
I was baffled when I saw dudes older than like 14 playing Duke Nukem at a LAN party once. And I was like, oh man, old people play this too? Like I thought it was just like a secret for from like junior high boys.
I think probably I've never been to a LAN party because I don't have the games that they want to play at a LAN party, and I don't want to them cheap, and I don't want to spend the money on it. Like I have a couple games that I play randomly, but I don't know.
It depends, and there's just you get friends together that have games, and you could always like. If you did Halo, you could have two people on one console.
Yeah.
If you did the console-wide, or you could do PCs.
There's also, like, killer open-source games to LAN parties, like World of Padman. It's basically Quake 3, but with, like, really great maps, and it's, like, super colorful, and it'll play on anything. I bet there's LAN parties you can go to. They're all open-source. They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. The Linux users group in, for ISU used to do LAN parties with open-source games.
I also haven't heard of any LAN parties where we're at here.
You could always play here. We'll get an Octodad LAN party going. How about that?
Geeks are Wired LAN party.
We should
just LAN party it up.
Awesome. There we go.
That'd be
fun. You guys have to email and tell us that you want it though.
Where do they email?
I don't know, Bill. Where do they email?
You're supposed to know these things.
Isn't it Geeks are Wired at Gmail?
Yes, geeksarewired@gmail.com.
It's ARE Wired, not R the letter.
Geeks ARE Wired. Yes.
Yeah, I do know it.
What if Geeks letter R Wired is like another podcast that's just looking for someone to email them and they finally get like their first email ever and they're just really excited but then they find out that it was meant for us and they're just really sad.
Oh.
You know, if Geeks letter R Wired wants to join in our LAN party, I would be for it.
Okay.
I want the piratey R Wired.
That's or the statistics oriented R Wired.
That's right. Yeah, the stats geeks.
So if they want to call in, Mike.
If they want to call in, you can dial 801-896-4335.
Wow.
Mike just made that number up.
What's that?
Mike just made that number up. It's not a real number.
No. No, it's actually a real number. You can call and leave a message.
Yeah.
I promise you will get the message. We might even play it on the podcast. I don't know. It might be such a momentous event that Bill would play it on the podcast.
Like you were on and we'll answer your question.
Yeah.
Live on the recorded podcast.
And if you didn't get any of that information, it's online.
It's in the podcast, in the show notes.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm just a horrible person. I don't know anything about the podcast I'm on. I'm just making it all up.
No. That'll happen. So,
So speaking of robots and whatnot.
Yes.
Are we going to be taken over by killer bees?
No, like, they're going to help save us.
Killer bee robots like in Black Mirror?
No, they're not going to take. They're not going to destroy us. They're here to save us.
They will be our secret attack force. That'll be the new drones.
Is anybody making these drones?
I don't know.
You sounded so confident.
No, I'm just saying that would be the new drone. Like, they would do what they did in Black Mirror. They would send the bees over to wherever, take out somebody assassination style, and then bring them back and they do their pollination thing. And nobody would be the wiser.
You know who's doing that?
I don't.
Japan.
MIT? Oh.
Yeah, it's not MIT, sorry. It's Japan.
As long as it's not North Korea, I'm okay with it. Well, sort of.
If North Korea made a robotic bee, it would actually just be a Volkswagen Beetle with a dude inside of it with a Glock. Like, that's what they'd send out in the field, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at this point...
He's like a feather duster, so he can get out and he can just pollinate some stuff and then get back in his car and go driving again.
Yeah.
Well, they've been studying insect flight forever.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the way insects fly is rather interesting. They don't fly. Like, the wing shape isn't aerodynamic so that they can create lift. They actually create vacuum instead.
Mm-hmm.
So their wings, like, come up above them and hit together, and then they pull apart. And when they pull apart, it creates a vacuum, and they fill into the vacuum. So it's rather different.
Yeah, I need to read up more about that. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Never thought about that.
Yeah, I never did either.
According to Bee Movie, bumblebees technically cannot fly.
Is that the Jerry Seinfeld one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They say the same thing about helicopters, though. According to physics, helicopters can't fly. Well, you're wrong.
I don't think we should trust a movie that was a paycheck for Jerry Seinfeld either.
Yeah, probably not.
Actually, so you're saying bees can't fly and helicopters can't fly. So what I'm saying is
Jerry Seinfeld can't fly.
Oh, okay.
Well, happen. I dispute that. He can do anything.
What's the deal with flying?
It's the whole staying up thing.
Yeah, that's right. Hitchhiker's Guide. I
gotcha. Anybody can fly. It's just falling. How long are you trying to fly?
Falling in style?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? Is you fall and miss. Hitchhiker's Guide.
I don't remember that.
You throw yourself at the ground, you fall and miss.
But Toy Story is just like falling with style. Like,
yeah. Different. Properties.
But that's a flying.
It is flying. Falling in style.
So, like I said, let's take the two things, helicopters and bees that can't fly, put them together, and make a flying bee helicopter, which Japan is doing, and they attach this thing to the bottom of it so it can pollinate, so it ends up grabbing off of the flowers and then moving elsewhere.
Yeah, but unless that picture, I know the picture is off a little bit, that thing is huge.
The thing that the picture is taking is zoomed in.
Well, I understand that, but still, like, there's screws and stuff in there that, like, fasteners that you can't use on something that is the size of a bee.
Why not?
Because you cannot make a fastener that small. It would be microns.
Bee? Amazing.
So how does it transport that pollen, though?
The little patch on the bottom, it kind of acts like fur.
Yeah, it's with the video. It actually comes in and brushes against flowers, and then ends up doing a really good job at picking up the pollen so it can fly off. But if you're wondering how big this thing is, it is... Where did I go?
A comparison picture?
The manually controlled drone is 4 centimeters wide and weighs 15 grams.
Yeah, that's still huge for insect comparison.
Okay.
That's like a small
and it's,
height.
It's horse hair is what they're using.
Oh.
How do they make it like work that way with horsehair?
Is it 4 centimeters or 14?
Four.
Is it just coarse enough to like pick it up and then just like transport it?
Large. Yeah, just like with insects when they brush into it. Yes. So yes, it is. It's coarse enough that you can go in and when it goes in, it brushes against the flowers. It'll end up picking up like insects do.
That's a very interesting idea. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's issues with bees anymore just trying to, like, transport all that pollen, right?
Mm. And also, it doesn't damage the flower. That's the other thing that's nice about it. The flowers will stay okay.
No, what's the size of a bee?
No, 4 centimeters is not the size of a bee.
No, I said, what is the size of a bee?
Oh, I would guess probably 3 millimeters tops.
No.
Seriously? No way.
That's teeny tiny.
Ridiculously small.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to see it very well.
Millimeters?
Yeah. Like 3 millimeters. Anybody.
What is it, Bill? He's looking it up right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of how big a bee is in reality, like in relation to the size of my finger. I'm gonna guess it's like
finger, one segment of your finger is approximately an inch. That's how they came up with the inch.
I'm gonna say it's about
half of your finger.
Okay,
so it's probably what?
So it depends. Okay, so remember this thing was
4 centimeters. Yeah.
So a bee can range anywhere between 2 millimeters for teeny tiny little bees, all the way up to 39 millimeters, which is an inch and a half.
Ha! See?
So they can be teeny tiny, or they can be huge, which is usually the females, though. They're that large.
Yeah. But, yeah, it is true. You're closer than we were with our 4 centimeters. Well, me.
Four centimeters is like almost 2 inches, I think. It's a little bit shy of 2 inches.
So it's slightly bigger than large bees.
You said the largest was, what, 43 millimeters?
39 millimeters.
39 millimeters, and that's, what, an inch and a half?
Yeah, well, 1.54 inches.
Okay.
That's almost 4 centimeters.
That's 40 millimeters is 4 centimeters. So that's a little over an inch and a half.
Okay. So the drones are smidgen larger than the largest bee.
Yeah. In robotics, that is tiny.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite nanorobotics, but... You still can't use fasteners on something that is the size of a regular.
Well, like, then we'll 3D print it.
It's true.
You'd have to 3D print it, or you could use adhesives and stuff like that.
No, I failed at my conversions because I was trying to convert 100 millimeters into a centimeter. I am horrible. Like, I have that problem. Even though it's designed specifically to be that easy.
Yeah. Sometimes. No, millimeters, centimeters is 10.
Yep.
So now all we need is these drone quadcopter bees to make honey now.
I'm telling you, all they got to do is like put a little tiny stinger in there and fill it with poison. You just send the bee off, you know, make it autonomous that nobody knows why it did it.
We make a robotic bee, and then we have to add the thing that people don't like about bees to it.
Yeah, the stinger and the poison.
See, I'm looking at I Want Honey, and you were mad at me earlier for destroying the world, and you want to wipe it out. And I'm like, honey, I could care less about the stinger. I want honey.
I don't
want
to wipe out the world. I'm saying that it's a possibility.
Yeah.
You want to watch the world burn as it gets wiped out.
Well, there's that, but I want to enjoy my honey while I watch said world burn.
Well, those bees don't make
Yeah, how's Bill supposed to drink his tea without honey and to watch the world burn? I mean,
honey require
honey bees?
The bees have to eat it.
Yeah. Well, then we need drones to eat honey so we can have honey.
I don't
see
it. A
little robot flies up to Bill's coffee, Bill's tea, and then just like burps up some honey, and it's just burp, burp.
Yeah.
They make honey sauce. It's usually corn syrup and whatnot.
Well, not even bees, because you can have drones the size of motes of dust. And so I don't see why you wouldn't weaponize something like that. Seems like a very good tool.
They don't have drones that are that size.
No. Well, I don't know if it has been developed. No, I think it's at least in the process of development.
I'm sure somewhere in the military, in the deep, dark secrets of the military,
Bill,
they're trying
look
to...
that up.
It's called Google's basement. Yeah, right.
That's true.
Because I think that was one of the articles I read. They kind of blend together, and I forget a lot. But drones the size of motes.
Motes?
Motes of dust.
Oh, I was like, I'm thinking moat, like a giant.
Oh, not those.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a moat as a reference of size or mount.
If you're also wondering, Jordan weighs himself in stones. When he identifies it.
I weigh 3 stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably a lot more than that. I'm like 4 or 5 stone.
I think a stone is 20 pounds. I think you weigh more than that, Jordan. I mean, I don't call shenanigans on you because, I've been getting stones lately. And
like the average person is like 3 or 4 stone.
So apparently the world's smallest nano drone is an RC quadcopter that is 2 inches. Guess what? We were already talking about the smallest drone.
But that's the smallest one that they're willing to admit to.
So it's in development, because I do recall reading an article that went over that. But yeah, that's another thing, Bill. Quickly, and this may become an infinite process, but...
Look at that. Sits on right on top of his finger.
How much does a stone weigh?
I'm looking at it right now.
I just looked up a Wikipedia, and apparently... It weighs like 14 pounds is the standard unit of measure for stone.
Yeah. One stone is 14 pounds. I could have sworn it was like 5 pounds for the average.
Well, I thought it was 20. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was saying. I weigh 42 pounds.
Yeah. I didn't even think you weigh 42
pounds. It doesn't look like it, but it's impressive. Just
people say living. That I look pretty slim, and I'm like, you have no idea.
Like, I'm not even skin and bones. I'm just skin.
No, it's... People say it might be unhealthy to be that underweight, but I say it's fine.
So here's one thing I don't get.
What's that?
We are the only country that I mean, there's some other countries, but pounds is the only measure of weight that is force.
Yeah.
Like, everything else measures mass. Pounds is the only one that's in force.
At least it's proper, because... You know, when
well, it's empirical, even.
I don't think so. Newtons are the measure for force, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the metric measure.
That's
the
metric. But, so pounds is, I forgot the measure of gravity. It's stone times the force of gravity.
It's mass times the acceleration due to gravity.
Well, that's what force is, but.
Well, pounds, yeah, that's force. Pounds is force.
But it's, so, what's the measure of mass in
slugs? Pounds?
Is it slugs?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was stone.
No. No, it's slugs. But that is one thing in pounds' favor, because people conventionally misuse kilograms as a measure of force, you know, with weight. That's force.
I've never heard anybody do that.
It's like when you lift up 40 kilograms, when you're lifting weights or whatever, like we have it in pounds, but if you do it in somewhere that's not the U.S., it's like in kilograms.
But the difference is, like, if you're lifting 40 kilograms, it doesn't matter if you're, like, on a boat in the ocean or if you're at the highest point that you can breathe.
And people...
It's still 40 kilograms.
If you ask someone's weight and they're not using pounds, they'll use kilograms. They're not going to say, I'm 37 newtons or whatever. Well, that would be extremely light, too.
That's
really
what I'm
light.
Saying. We're the only, like... Pounds is the only measure of force that is used for weight.
It's a proper measurement. When people respond in pounds, they're properly answering their weight and force. Like, pounds is specifically force, whereas conventionally, the conventional usage of kilograms is incorrect. Like, as far as the formal use for force, which is, like, in metric terms, newtons, but people, like, they'll mention their weight in kilograms.
Yeah, or in stone.
That's
all of England does stone. I don't know where else does, but
England,
I know
England uses stones regularly. Like, that's conventional.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
You know, I had an app. I think my Fitbit, and going like, how do you want to be weighed in pounds, in, you know, the metric version, or in stones?
Yeah, it's actually a common measurement, and I know it's in England. Like I said, I don't know where else they use it, but. I thought it was weird that we measure ourselves with a force measurement instead of a mass.
Why would someone measure themselves with something that's base 14 pounds? Like, or I wonder
why
how
would
much
someone
that
measure
is
themselves on something that's base 0.6.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I said that, I know.
Fun thing I learned about pounds. Pounds are actually they actually went through a standard unit of measure by the same body that administrates the kilogram. So a pound actually does have a direct direct conversion to kilogram because of them. So when you're using pounds, you're actually using the international standard for measurement that was defined by the same organizing body that did kilograms. We're already using SI measurements.
Sort of.
Well, no, it is. Like, pounds used to be kind of inconsistent, but when SI got a hold of it, they actually set how much a pound really weighs based off of a conversion from a kilogram. So the pound that we use today is based off of an SI measurement that's a conversion from a kilogram. So we're already on a metric unit.
They set the measure of a kilogram compared to, and I can't remember what they're using, it's their little weights that are like inside of a vacuum tube and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they set that, and then they went, okay, a pound is exactly point whatever of a kilogram. Like, it wasn't that they went, this is the exact amount of a pound. Because a pound also changes depending on where you're at gravitationally.
Does it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought a pound was a unit of mass.
No, a pound is a measure of mass times the acceleration of gravity.
Yeah.
So every time I go from Idaho back to California, I lose weight. I lose pounds. And when I come back to Idaho, I gain pounds back.
Yeah, if you want to know your mass, like I guess in the U.S. customary, the acceleration due to gravity is... Like it does vary with your location because if you're really high up, it's less. But it's 32 feet per second.
No,
squared. Yeah, I think it's 32 feet per second squared.
Yeah, 14.7 meters per second squared.
So no, it's 9.81 meters you're per right, second 9. squared.
14. This is a heavy discussion.
I can totally tell. I was like, ah.
So, yeah, it's probably, I think it is 32 pounds. Or 30. Yeah.
You know, guess what? We're just going to move on.
You just divide your weight by 32 and you get your mass in slugs.
Yeah.
I said move on, good
sir.
All
right. Closing that conversation properly.
No, we just like to, you know, segue off into, like, random thoughts halfway through other thoughts.
Well, we went from bees to pounds, so...
It just makes sense.
I got some liquids. You want to talk about liquid? I got a jar. It's got some liquid in it.
I only measure my liquid in cc's, darn it.
Well, I'll segue off into our sponsor.
Is that a pressure with mercury? It's used with mercury cc, right?
Can't take it anymore! Can't take
millimeters of mercury is what you're talking about. Vacuum pressure.
Yeah, that's... That's CC's.
Yeah, or you can learn more about it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Bill, who's our sponsor?
Hey, that's great. Our sponsor is Carmike Finders 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue in Chubbuck, Idaho. And they have a bucket of popcorn and Stimulus Tuesday sales.
I don't think bucket of popcorn is a proper measurement, Bill.
Don't forget the share bags.
Yes.
But it is an awesome amount of popcorn.
It is an... A lot of popcorn.
Yes.
Don't tell us how much. Please do not use a unit measure to describe the quantity of popcorn. For the love of God, just say small, medium, large.
Wait, no. It is. This is the measurement. Ready? It is a whole bucket overflowing of popcorn.
Is it a bucket load, Bill?
Yes.
It's non-porous.
Correct.
Okay.
You can put liquids in it if you want.
That's nice.
I do not recommend... Well, I guess you would when you clean it out.
Well, and also,
to bring it back.
Yeah, butter.
It's plastic.
Yeah, plastic.
Or is it more because they put more past the bucket?
Yes. It is more than a bucket load. Yeah, she's right. It's Stimulus Tuesday. Get cheap tickets. Cheap snacks.
Was it just the popcorn, though?
Not... For Stimulus Tuesday?
No, for the whole deal.
What do you mean?
Wasn't it popcorn and a drink or something?
That was
like that?
The previous one. Oh. That deal's gone.
I do want to introduce that as a unit of volume, a bucket.
I'm sure there is.
Five buckets. Like five buckets.
Did you know that a buttload is actually a unit of measure?
I use it frequently.
No, it is literally defined as a unit of measure. And I don't remember what it is off the top of my head.
It's literally defined by, what is that?
Wikipedia is who it's literally defined by.
No,
it's a slang dictionary, urban dictionary. That's, I can see it being defined.
No, do not look it up on Urban Dictionary.
It safe
would
give search
off. A very, very bad definition of it.
All right. So that's our sponsor,
okay.
Carmike Finders 11. We'll move on to Bleed 2.
So I said this one in the show notes.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about a game that just came out this week called Bleed 2. It's by this guy named Ian Campbell is the dude who authored it under his company. Hold on a second, I'll pull it up because I want to give a mention here. Boot Disk Revolution. Anyway, it's about a two-hour long action game that surprisingly has no blood despite the name being Bleed. And it's kind of like Contra meets Contra with Bullet Time, And you can do the like really cool acrobatic maneuvers and like not even just double jump, but you can like triple jump through the air. And you've got like weapons that like deflect other projectiles. And it's like also a bullet hell game. It's kind of just like a pile of like all the like most intense action sequences from like a normal platforming game just crammed into like 2 hours. You can beat the game in literally one sitting.
We're watching the trailer.
You know what it reminds me of? Metal Slug.
Yeah, it's all like Metal Slug. You actually have like a sword weapon that you can use like just right off the bat. You don't have to unlock it in Bleed 2. You have to unlock it in Bleed 1. And it'll let you deflect projectiles or just run up and slash dudes with it.
It's very Campbellian.
So, Mike?
Yeah.
This is called a side-scroller game.
Yes, Bleed 2 is definitely a side scroller. So if you're into side scrollers, check it out on Steam. It's really good. I totally recommend it. The only thing that you need to brace yourself for is the game is literally 2 hours long. You can beat it in 2 hours. It actually took me a grand total of 110 minutes to beat it in one sitting. So it's a really short game, but it does have some replay value because there's like unlockable stuff and achievements and all that.
You know, that brings to mind, you know, another really short game that I played that is also about, well, yeah, I'd say 2 hours long, is Brothers. It's an indie game, and it's pretty amazing. I think that it's not just, I played it on the PlayStation 4, but I think that it's also available on the PC. Yeah, that is a really fun game. I like it a lot. It's beautiful, too. I'm not sure... Oh, wait a second. No, there's a subtitle. It's Brothers, a Tale of Two Sons or something like that.
I'm like, I pulled this up. I'm like, this game doesn't look like one that you would play.
No.
It doesn't even look like a game.
Apparently, they actually had to subtitle it because someone already copyrighted.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
So Brothers, a Tale of Two Sons?
Yep, that's the one. It's amazing.
Yeah, it looks like a game you'd play now. I don't know if the last one was a game, though. I mean, it's on Steam, so it should be, isn't it?
Wait a second, you guys have me like, my case type or down? You think I'm more this guy?
You like the anime stuff.
You're definitely not playing the army game.
I'm not playing the army game.
The live action, you know, recorded army game.
Come on, Bill. Am I not the most jingoistic person you know?
No.
I just don't see you doing it.
It does look pretty though. Like I'm just kind of seeing some pictures of it, but it definitely looks anime-like.
It's beautiful. I think the environment, everything, and the story is so well done. You just have to play it. I don't even want to ruin it or besmirch its glorious beauty with my clumsy attempt to explain it because it won't do it justice.
Is it multiplayer?
No.
Oh.
You do play both brothers with both thumbsticks, at least when I was playing it. I'm not sure if it's on... Is it on PC?
Yes, it is. But notice, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons requires a controller to play.
Yeah.
Which means whether you're going to hook up your Xbox One controller or your wired Xbox 360 controller or your Steam controller or some other controller that you've acquired...
Well, it's really interesting because you use both thumbsticks simultaneously and each one controls a brother. And so you're moving both brothers with both thumbsticks independently. And so it's kind of weird for you. It's like when you first play piano or any kind of musical instrument that requires independent maneuvering of the hands, how that's kind of off-putting at first and getting your brain to adapt to that.
Wow, this game actually is in like... a dozen languages available.
It is
9. Let's go with 9. That's the word. That's the official number.
The director was a Lebanese guy, actually, and the language they do is a fictional language, but it's based on Arabic, and it's really cool. But yeah, I highly recommend that game. It was really fun. Had a great ending too.
Nice. So how long is this game play?
2 hours.
2 hours? Okay. Here's some nice, short, fairly decent price games. They're not too bad. What else do we have on all the fun? We also have Fire Emblem Heroes Reunion.
So this is Nintendo's second game to come out on mobile. It's
they were dying.
Nintendo?
No, you.
Oh, okay.
Fire sound.
Yeah, I might be dying. Nintendo isn't.
Especially here in a couple weeks.
Quit trying to kill Nintendo and kill Bill. This is ridiculous, Mike.
And sting the entire world population.
Not sting, kill. And it's only one person at a time.
Anyway, Fire Emblem is about killing one or possibly many people at a time. It's a turn-based strategy game. And usually Fire Emblem's like super technical and really and actually kind of tough to play. But the mobile version is like super new player friendly. Like it's not nearly as complicated as the usual Fire Emblem games. Like they make it easy for you. Like there's like a rock, paper, scissors mechanic that's in most Fire Emblem games. And this one does it too, but it does it with all weapons and all units. So like red beats green, green beats blue beats red. And they make it real easy for you on the magic by not having like separate like trees for what's strong against what. Because normally in Fire Emblem, you have to memorize basically the equivalent of like a later Pokemon game's list of weaknesses for different elemental types. Fire Emblem's like that, like normally that tough, but this one's like really easy. And yeah, it's a free-to-play game that you can that has like a few in-game currencies that you can like buy to get better units, but you could also just play it for free and enjoy it for what it is. It's actually really good.
I just did. I signed up to get this on the Android. This actually just came out.
Yeah, it came out as a simultaneous iOS Android release. It's both systems got at the same time.
Which I'm still waiting. I signed up for the Mario Run game, and that one still hasn't come out. I'm still in the waiting for that to come out. But I was thinking about playing this one. Instead, I picked up Sword Art. Sword Art for the Android.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, then maybe I'll have to pick up this one instead.
And also Brothers.
At least give it a shot. It's totally free.
Phone.
Yeah, Brothers isn't on Android.
Yeah, but I mean, pick it up anyway because you know it's a good game.
Okay, yes.
I just pick it up, but does it weigh too much?
How many pounds would you say that is?
I'd say it's 4 buckets.
Well, ooh. if it's $9 American, it's probably $5 or 560 pounds.
Okay.
It's about two pounds per dollar. No, $2 per pound.
So this game is on the 3DS, the iOS, and the Android.
Fire Emblem?
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, Fire Emblem. So it's on 3DS, but I don't think this one is. Like, this one I think is just on iOS and Android.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I saw the Fire Emblem Awakening. Okay.
Yeah, Fire Emblem Awakening is, like, unbelievably great. It's 3DS exclusive, as is the new Fire Emblem. But yeah, Fire Emblem Awakening is just 3DS. And oh, God, if you got 3DS and you don't have it, you're killing me. You got to get it. It's so good.
Alex, yay, I did get a 3DS, and I played Link Between Worlds.
Hey!
This is a really fun game. I enjoyed it.
Link Between Worlds is so good.
It is. It is really,
like,
really good.
If the 3DS didn't have that in Fire Emblem Awakening, I would have said, like, maybe pass on the 3DS. Like, those two games are definitely buy the console for.
Yeah, I'll have to get back into it because the last Fire Emblem game I played was, oh man, it's been such a long time. Over a decade, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a truly long time. I think
this is your deadliest podcast so far. So far, we've killed you. We've killed Alex.
Actually, you've killed me a few times.
Yeah. We've killed random people, assassination style. And who was it couldn't fly?
You?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld. We killed him, too.
All because he couldn't fly?
Well, you know.
I believe he could fly.
He flew. It was the sudden stop at the end that technically killed him.
Oh.
On the podcast, we killed him.
I'm sad.
What's really the deal with killing me on the podcast? What's the deal with asking what's the deal with asking what's the deal with asking what's the deal with? Pow! Good night, Jerry.
Infinity loop destruction.
Recursive Seinfeld.
In this dadaistic point of the conversation, I will say, you guys should play watch Legend of the Galactic Heroes. I'm randomly pitching this because it's like we're just talking about stuff, but yeah. That's a really great animation. Or, well, I guess properly anime.
You can watch that on YouTube, can't you? Like, that's like, you basically have to rely on like a fan sub because no one else has done it yet.
Yeah, it's pretty much impossible. It's like Monster. It's a great show that is unavailable as far as, like, you can't buy it on DVD or anything. And
it's like their Battlestar Galactica, but if it kept going for, like, 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, and if it kept up very well until the end. Because, yeah, Battlestar Galactica kind of, you know, made some questionable choices.
There's a reason that people make fun of Battlestar Galactica is what you're telling us.
I'm saying that.
The original or the remake?
There's lots of reasons people make fun of the original.
Is it because it's written by a Mormon?
It was?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, now you can jump into that conversation.
I actually haven't seen that much of Battlestar Galactica. I like the new Star Trek and Star Wars, of course.
Are you talking about the movies?
Yeah.
Actually, I think I need to go hunt down the series. The new Star Trek series.
No, a series that I hear is good. Someone recommended it to me, and I plan on watching it, is The Expanse. Not The Expanse. It's not about consumerism. It's Expanse. It's a space opera.
As in Star Wars?
More grounded, I think.
I'm sure you knew, but Star Wars was originally pitched as a space opera.
It is a space opera.
Yeah, I would totally still say it's
There's
a space
no
opera.
Singing. Yeah.
It's not an opera.
There's very little singing.
Not a singing opera. Like a soap opera. Do they sing in soap operas?
No.
No. Let's just go with no. That's what Star Trek is.
Okay. I can buy that. That was not the first thing I heard or that came to mind when I said space opera, though.
Oh, I could see that. Okay. Well.
Does anybody have any good movies coming up that they're going to go see?
Logan.
Jordan Peele movie. I think that's his name.
And Tony and I are going to go see Beauty and the Beast next month.
Oh, yeah, Beauty and the Beast. Next month actually has some good movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to. And Logan. That comes out next month.
I want to see Logan.
And Ghost in the Shell, I will watch that and be ashamed.
I want to see Logan just to come on here and trash talk Logan. Because it is wrong.
Why?
Because he should not age that quickly.
It explains it in the comics.
I know it does, but I don't read the comics.
And they're going to explain it in the movie because a lot of people didn't read the comics.
They better explain it in the movie or I would be mad.
You want me to explain it to you?
You already have, and it doesn't make sense still. I'm just... Logan doesn't age that quickly. I mean, look at the
Hugh Jackman does, though.
The X-Men. What's that?
Hugh Jackman does, though.
Well, yes. Yeah, I know. That's why they're... But look at the movie X-Men. Like... The origins, when they're all younger, Logan is the exact same age as he is in the next movie, like Wolverine. Or
actually, technically, he's older.
Well, he's older by like 3 years or something, but physically. But in the movie, he's older by like 30 years.
Well, they didn't have Disney money to make him younger, so they just kind of like let that one go.
But they made everybody else younger. They could have had a different person play him.
Oh, yeah, right. That's the thing that he has on his, is he is the only Wolverine.
I think that my favorite, and I say this over and over again because it's very true, is my favorite thing about Wolverine is how Hugh Jackman addresses the aging problem is that he just gets way more ripped.
Yep.
It's like, I'm young because can't you see it's now down to 4% body fat.
Did I say 4? I meant 3.
Right. It's like, I have 0% body fat. If I miss a meal, I'm dead.
I have negative body fat now. For Wolverine, Old Man Logan, I will be negative 2% body fat.
Saying that Wolverine ages at that rate would be like if Captain America, we came back in 10 years, used the same guy to make Captain America, and suddenly he ages at the same rate as a human now.
Hey, Mike, never play Metal Gear Solid 4, by the way, because you're not going to be able to get through the first 20 minutes of it.
For which one?
Metal Gear Solid 4. Don't play it, Mike. You won't be able to get through the first 20 minutes of it.
It's a beautiful game.
If dude suddenly becoming old bothers you.
Oh.
No.
Alex, they have nanomachines, though.
So, like, in the Marvel Universe, Captain America...
It's the midichlorians of the Konami universe.
in World War II is the same age as he is in 2000, whatever.
Well, deep freezing yourself tends to do that.
That's the other thing, is he can't die.
Captain America has died.
He doesn't die.
He has died.
When?
He's been killed.
He's been replaced. There's been other captains.
It's a comic book death.
So he didn't die.
But he died.
I'm talking about in the Marvel Universe now. Like, not the comic books, in the movies and TV shows.
They have killed... Are you talking about the movies or the comic books?
The TV shows and movies. The new Marvel Universe.
Oh.
Nobody reads. Come on, Bill.
Like I said, Mike won't be here next week.
You know...
He's getting it all out now.
I just get comics to look at the pretty pictures, that's all.
You know, if they're going to make a superhero movie, I want to see them take Milton Friedman, famed economist, and make him a superhero. Like, instead of doing a straight biography of him, they kind of make changes and say that, I don't know, that he was a crime fighter of vigilante. He had some extraordinary powers. I'm going to throw out, I don't know, maybe not invisibility. That's kind of...
His enemy is mercantilism.
What's that?
His enemy is just the physical manifestation of mercantilism.
Yeah, that seems like something. But yeah, I wish people would.
I would not watch that movie, but you got something to start there.
Why would you watch? You wouldn't watch Milton Friedman's superhero?
No.
Hey, Alex, your statement was very Washingtonian.
Just saying, no.
No, Milton Friedman is against mercantilism. Actually.
No, I'm just saying, Alex has definitely adopted Seattle. Like, there's no coming back from that now.
Oh.
But fun fact, everyone in Seattle hates Milton Friedman.
Yeah, I'm not
surprised.
I just
completely made that up. I have no idea.
No, it seems likely. But, yeah. Anyway, so I feel a little sad that idea has been shot by you guys. I don't know.
Hey,
it seems
go good read Booster Gold comics. Go look up Booster Gold. Actually, go find a cartoon with Booster Gold. Tell me he's the greatest. Tell me he's not the greatest superhero ever.
Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
I'll look into. You know, if greatest. Milton Friedman, if people are opposed, like John Keynes, Maynard Keynes, superhero. The Great Depression.
Just like, really happy that Americans are eventually going to raise their standard of living up.
That's right. It's like,
what if,
we need
what
a
the,
new
what
deal.
What if the Keynesian economics superhero movie is just about like, oh man, my theories were totally wrong and people are working more hours than ever. Like, what's the resolution of that movie?
I don't know. I'm just kind of brainstorming these things, like, because on the chance that Hollywood execs are listening in and they're like,
and stealing your idea.
Yeah, well, they're welcome to steal it because I'm not going to do anything with
okay
ideas. I'm just saying,
you don't even want any credit.
I just want to see it on film. Like, I want
to
see a Milton Friedman
cast as an extra.
I'll
oh, there
be
you go.
Cast as an extra too. I'll be Milton Friedman's third brother who
twice removed.
Yeah, just pops up and says, hey Milty.
That'll be your only line and then they'll kill you.
Hey, Milty.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Yeah, because there'd be a supervillain who just kind of drives into his house and I'm collateral damage. And yeah, he's like, something needs to be done to stop crime around here. And he puts down his pencil as he's writing his book and he goes about crime fighting. You guys seriously are not interested in this?
Not even remotely.
Who would be?
Yeah, I lost track of what you were even talking about.
Oh.
I knew one of the economists you said. And all I know about him is that he just turned out to be wrong.
Yeah, most of them do, in some way or another.
Those darn economists, they're as bad as statisticians.
Well, we probably should wrap things up. We've gone over an hour. So we'll start with the famous last words with Alex.
Pass.
All right. Jordan.
I seriously think it's a good thing. Like, I'm on to something. You guys may be doubters, but Milton Friedman, maybe he could be biting John Maynard Keynes. Like, they could be in a super battle, like they're flying around the universe, beating each other up, saying, I believe in investment in the middle class. That's Keynes. And then Milton Friedman's like, screw the middle class. Give it to the wealthy. They'll generate jobs. Yeah. And they fight it out like that.
Jordan, that was a lot of last words.
Okay.
Was that your last words, Mike? Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you guys should check out the Humble Bundle that we were talking about earlier in the show. And I think it's interesting on those honeybee drones. I kind of want one of those, too.
Have a scare bees away from your yard.
Forget your Milton Friedman, Zoe Deschanel one. Go look...